like to stand with us, turn to number 46. If you know what this song's singing about, just really, really sing out. 46. I was kneeling one day, asking God to forgive me. I was deep in despair, had no peace within. I surrendered my all unto Jesus, the Savior. Then the glory came down, I was saved from sin. Oh, the glory did roll, I was happy and free. I had heard a sweet voice speak pardon to me. It's such a wonderful joy I was given within.
When the Savior in love
saved me from all sin. I will praise His dear name for the wonderful victory. And the joy in my heart all along the way. I am longing to see heaven's glorious city, and to hear the Lord call, come and live forever. Oh, the glory did roll, I had heard a sweet voice speak pardon to me. And such a wonderful joy I was given within. When the Savior in love saved me from all sin.
Well, I have a lot of scripture that I want to read today. I looked and looked for a way to condense it and just couldn't seem to get away from the feeling that I just needed to read all these verses. So I'm just going to ask for your prayers and get started. If you want to read with me, please turn to the 11th chapter of the Gospel according to John. John chapter 11. And we will begin reading there together in verse 1. And again, I do ask for your patience today because I have a lot of verses that I want to read. John 11, beginning with verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the place, the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, but because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go also, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They say unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. That's reading verses 1 through 36 of John chapter 11 for a scripture reading. And I have one verse that I want to read from the 21st chapter of Revelation. And I just want to read the first part of that verse, because this is where I want to use today's title for the message. Revelation 21 and 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. And the title of the message today will be, when there shall be no more death. So I want to speak to you today about something that I am really looking forward to. Really looking forward to that time when there shall be no more death. To be living in a place for all of eternity, not just for a few years of time, but to be dwelling and living in a place for all of eternity where the Bible teaches us, not only in that verse there in Revelation 21, but in many other verses, that in that land there will be no such thing as death. It won't exist anymore. And I want us to think about that subject today. And, you know, I've always thought that certainly when we talk about death, when we look at the things that the Scriptures teach us about death, you know, there's something in that sermon absolutely for everybody, because it's something that every one of us faces. You know, one of the things that the Scriptures make very plain to us concerning death is that it is universal, that it applies to every one of us. Death is something that you and I are powerless against. Now, there's a lot of people in the world today that I'm afraid they falsely, they perhaps deceive themselves and cause themselves to believe that they have a much greater handle on things than what they actually do. But I'm going to tell you today that the Bible teaches me, and I'm going to give you the verse, but the Bible teaches me that when it comes to death, that man is absolutely powerless against it. If you look in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8, Solomon said, "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war." When it comes to death, you and I are absolutely without power. We, if we look at what death is, and I believe James defines it the best in his epistle. If you look at James chapter 2, verse 26, he simply tells us, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." And so he compared faith without works to the body without the spirit. Now, we are made up of inward and outward. We are made up of temporal and eternal. We are made up of body and soul, or body and spirit, however you want to put it. And if we want to understand truly what death is, and a lot of people look at death in different ways. You know, there's some people that believe that when a person dies, that's it. That's the end. That's the end of any existence that person ever had. But that's not what the Bible teaches us about death. The Bible teaches us, and I'm talking right now at this very moment, I'm talking about natural death. But the Bible teaches us very plainly, and honestly, I don't think you really need any other verse other than that one there in James 2 and 26. The Bible teaches us very plainly that what natural death is the separation of the inward man from the outward man. It's the separation of the body and the spirit. The body without the spirit is dead. Every time that you and I have ever looked at a dead body, that's what we have been looking at. We have been looking at that is without the spirit. The spirit has departed that body, and therefore it's dead. Not really complex or not really hard to understand. Death is merely a separation. Natural death being the separation of the body and the spirit. And so when we think of it in that way, and we go back to what Solomon said, he said, when that begins to happen, when that time comes, when that body and that spirit separate from one another, he said, there's no man that has power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. There's nobody that can overcome that. There's nobody that's powerful enough to overcome that. Job put it in these words, and I believe this answers it all. In the 14th chapter of Job in verse 15, Job, in reference to God, he said, thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. You know, there have been in different times in my life for different purposes that God has called me. You know, if you have been saved by God's grace, he's called you too. And perhaps God has called out to you even if you have not yet been saved. But there have been calls in my life that came to me from God. God one time moved up on me and he called me to repentance. Repentance is not something that we just decide to do within ourselves. God called me to repentance. Now, whether or not we answer that call is up to us, but God does extend that call to the human family. He calls us to repentance. There was a time in my life, and I have related this experience to you here at Fairview Memorial on more than one occasion. There was a time in my life when God called me to preach the gospel. He called me by his grace to preach the gospel. But, and I don't know how many times, you know, in my life that God may yet call out to me, but I do know this. You know, based upon what Job said there, that there's a future call that's coming to me. There's going to be a moment of time, and I don't know when it's going to be. You know, death is a mystery to us, isn't it? Because we don't know when that it's going to happen. But I do know this, that there's going to be a time when once again there's going to be a call from on high that's going to come to me, and that call is going to be that call to enter into death, to leave time. And when it comes, I'll guarantee you that I'm not going to be powerful enough to stop it. I'm not going to be powerful enough to retain my spirit. God will call and I will answer him. And so will you. No man can overcome that. The Bible teaches us that death, in its origin, that death is a penalty. It's a penalty. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages, and that's exactly what that word means, penalty, for the wages of sin is death. And, you know, those of us that have heard, you know, very much preaching at all, I know that many of you here today have heard this time and time and time again throughout your life. If you listen closely, you'll notice that this is in more sermons. This one thing is preached in more sermons over and over again, I think, than anything that you're ever going to hear repeated. But we have heard time and time again how that God created man from the dust of the ground, and how that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and how that man became a living soul, and God took that man whom he had formed from the earth, and he placed him there in the garden to dress and to keep the garden, and he gave to him a single law, that of all the trees of the garden you may freely eat, but of this one tree that's in the midst of the garden, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of that tree, and in the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. And we know that Adam became separated from God that day, that he did that, so he experienced spiritual death. Later on, we read these words that Adam died, so he experienced natural death. Death is the penalty or the wages for sin. You know, the human family today, if they would just listen to God's word, there would never have to be any question in the minds of people as to why
the human family experiences death. It's simple, because of sin. That's the penalty. For sin is death. The Bible also tells us that death is an enemy. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, Paul writing there, he said, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And so those are some things that the Scriptures tell us concerning death. We have in these Scriptures that were read from John chapter 11, we really were given, you know, and it's not always like this in the Bible. A lot of times in the Bible we read about somebody that died, and it doesn't give us a whole lot of detail. It just tells us, you know, perhaps that this person died being X amount of years old, and doesn't say a whole lot about how they died or anything. But, you know, in the 11th chapter of John here, we really have a very detailed account. We were given a lot of information about the death of this man, Lazarus. I don't know exactly what it was, but Lazarus died because he was sick. And we read here, when we read these verses that I have read before you today, and we think about them, we have an account that's so much like that we see in our world today from day to day. We were reading here about a family. Mary and Martha were sisters, and they had a brother that was named Lazarus, and he was sick. And these people lived in the time of Jesus, and they knew him, and word came to Jesus that Lazarus was sick. And so after getting that news and waiting for 2 days, Jesus started a short journey from where he was at to the place where Lazarus was at. But by the time that Jesus got there, which I'm convinced he did that purposely, Jesus waited purposely. He had a reason for waiting. I know when you read those verses that it would be reasonable to say, well, you know, why didn't the Lord Jesus head out right away? Why didn't he take off right when he got the news? Well, he had a reason for waiting. And that reason was to raise Lazarus and to glorify God in doing it, and to convince those that witnessed it as well. He had a reason for tarrying. But we're reading about a family. We're reading about them having a loved one that's sick, a loved one that's facing death. And we read in these Scriptures the sadness that was in their hearts when Lazarus died. And you know, that's something that death does to us, and I don't believe that anybody here today would deny that. That's something that death does to the human family, is when it happens, it brings a sadness into our lives. It brings sorrow into our lives. You know, it's really bad when somebody, you know, that we know and love, when somebody dies and leaves this world, and they left us with no hope of seeing them again. They left us with no testimony. They left us with no reason to think that we would see them again one day in heaven. That's really sad. I've experienced that a few times. But you know, even when those who have been saved by God's grace and they die and leave this world, even though we have great reason for consolation and great reason for hope, it still doesn't erase the sadness that it brings to our life, does it? It doesn't erase the sorrow that it brings to our life. Perhaps in our world, in the short years that we live, perhaps the death of those around us is the hardest thing that we face. Perhaps it brings the greatest sadness that we face. But there are some things that there are some things that are true concerning death with every one of us. We don't know that very moment, do we? God's not given that to us. I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know what day of the week it's going to be. I don't know what hour of the day it's going to be. I don't know what year it's going to be. And, God knows that. But that's a knowledge that God has retained unto himself. And he hasn't shared that with us. And as we live from day to day, as we walk together, as we fellowship together, as we sit down and enjoy a meal together, we don't know when it's going to be that one of us will be taken from this world. And folks, let me tell you something today. Death is something that you better really take seriously, because it is a very serious matter. You know, I've heard people say, death, that's just something that's a part of life. But listen, that's not near the consideration that death ought to be given. If you are here today and you're lost and without God, you better be really thinking about the fact that it is appointed unto you once to die, and after this, the judgment. You better give serious thought to the fact that you're going to leave time one of these days, and you're going to go out into eternity, and you don't know when that's going to be. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be down the road, but we don't know when that's going to be. But the most important thing that anybody can ever do in this life is prepare to die. Prepare to die. And you think, well, what a sad thing. Well, listen, people every day, people are making preparations to die. Why? Why are they doing that? Why are people making preparations to die? Why are they setting their house in order? Why are they trying to have things settled within their estate and have everything ready? Why do people have wills? Why do they make these preparations? Because we know that we're going to die. I'm not preaching to a congregation today that's ignorant of this fact. We know that. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 5 tells us that very plainly. The living know that they shall die. And so based upon that knowledge of that, people are making preparations. You know what they're doing? They're taking care of their wills. They're taking care of that which makes sure that when they die, that whatever they may possess when they die, that it goes to the person that they want it to go to. They are paying perhaps monthly or annual premiums on a life insurance policy, not because they know they're going to live forever, but because they know they're going to die. And so they are trying to have that set in place that should they die and leave the world, that their family will have something left. Especially men want to assure that they have something that they can leave to their wife and leave to their children, to try to take care of those whom they have tried to support in life, to take care of them after they're gone. Preparing. Don't tell me that people aren't preparing for death, because they are. If people were not preparing for death, the life insurance companies would be out of business. But there is preparation. But you know what? Of all of that, there's not nearly enough spiritual preparation being made by the people of this world. The very first thing, and I'm not against any of those things. In fact, I believe those things are good. I believe it's good to have the life insurance. I believe it's good to have the will. But listen, those are not the most important preparations for death. The most important preparation to die that anybody makes is when they settle the account between them and God, when they come to God and repent of their sins and trust the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of their soul. Because death is coming, friends. The pale horse and his rider are approaching you at a very rapid speed, and it is appointed unto you once to die. And friends, you're not going to get discharged from that You're not going to get discharged from that war. You know what a discharge is. A military discharge, that's when you get out. Solomon said there is no discharge in this war that you're facing, that you're battling against death. We just don't have the power to overcome it. And so Job was right. He was right towards every one of us. God will call. He'll call. And we'll answer. This family was sad. Mary, Martha, they were sad. They lost their brother. You know, sometimes death comes, sometimes we anticipate it. Sometimes we know that somebody has been diagnosed with a terminal illness. We know that if, unless God should choose to intervene and grant them healing, we know what the outcome will be. But sometimes people just leave the world very suddenly, don't they? Sometimes without anybody around them anticipating it at all, and suddenly they are gone from this world. You know, too many times, and I thought about this when I began to study about that and to think about that thought, when that time comes when there will be no more death, because, you know, too many times in this life, too many times in my ministry, in the years of my ministry, have I had to, sit with a family and be there when the news came to them that your loved one has just passed away and left the world. Too many times, we've made those visits to the funeral home to pay our last respects to somebody that we have known and loved. I suppose for me, one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do is I had to go to my own mother. When my dad was sick and we were all there at the hospital, and we were back and forth in his room, and my mother had taken a break and had gone over and sat down in the little waiting room that they had there for the family. And while she was there and I was in the room with him, I had to go to my own mother and I had to give to her the news that this man that she had been married to for all these years, this man with whom she had raised six children, was no longer with us. I had to go and I had to tell her, Dad's gone. He's gone. I mean, death brings sadness and sorrow to the lives of the human family. Jesus wept. I mean, we have an account here in this situation of when Jesus got there and he saw the sadness that was in the heart of Mary and the sadness that was in the heart of Martha and the sadness that was in the heart of those other Jews that were there. The Bible tells us that even Jesus wept. I think that perhaps in this 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, we see a great example here of the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wept at the sadness that was in the hearts of those people. And we weep and we mourn over death, don't we? It breaks our hearts. It breaks our hearts. You can read how that the children of Israel experienced 30 days of mourning after their leader Moses had been taken from this life. You can read how that after Stephen you know, the martyr Stephen, after that he was stoned to death, those brethren there, they carried him and they made great lamentation over him. They were sorrowful about what had happened. So, you know, death is something that has been bringing sorrow to the hearts of human beings for years and years, and it still continues to do so today. But there is a way. Thank God in heaven, there is a way to have victory over death. Thank God that He made a way. You know, listen, without Jesus, without Him, could you imagine what the grave would have been? Ever thought about that? Without Jesus, the grave, all that it would have ever been would have been a cold, dark, dingy dungeon that would have claimed our bodies forever and forever. Without Jesus, that's what it would have been. I know it's hard for the carnal mind to imagine this, but the Bible teaches me that the hour is coming when all that are in the graves are going to hear His voice and they're going to come forth. They that have done good under the resurrection of life and they that have done evil under the resurrection of damnation. But listen, if you will make your preparations, if you will make the proper spiritual preparations for death, then when that time comes, through the Lord Jesus Christ, death won't harm you. Death won't have any victory over you. Jesus told Martha here, here she was. She was so disheartened and so sad. And she said, Lord, if you would have just been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus gave comfort to her heart. At least He tried to, when He said, Martha, your brother will rise again. He'll rise again. She said, well, I know that He will in the resurrection at the last day. But the Lord said, I am the resurrection. No, we don't have to wait till the last day. I'm the resurrection right now. I'll raise Him right now. Folks, let me tell you something. The resurrection day is coming, but the Lord Jesus Christ can raise you right now. He can raise you right now. Now, He was going to raise Lazarus at that point physically. But if you're lost today, I want you to know that you're already dead. You're already dead. And you can say, no, I'm not, preacher. Look at me. I'm sitting here. I'm living and breathing. But inside, you're dead. Read Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath He quickened or made alive, were dead in trespasses and in sins. And if you're lost, that's what your state is today. You are spiritually dead. You're spiritually separated from God. The Bible says that you are condemned already because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So you are spiritually dead. You're separated from the love and the fellowship of God. And you need to come to Him and you need to seek Him that you may be raised, that you may experience that spiritual resurrection, that you may know salvation, that you may know what it is to be made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to come to Him because He is the resurrection and He is the life. He is the life. And so, you know, I have told my family, I'm sure that many of you have done this, you know, for the child of God, when we die, we don't experience any loss. We don't experience any harm. The righteous hath hope in his death. Revelation 14, 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write. Write it down, John. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write! Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, from henceforth they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. When I die, I'll lay down my Bible. I'll lay down my ministry. I'll lay aside the labors of this life, and I'll go home to be with God. And they'll take my body, and they'll, perhaps put it in a box, and, secure it, and lower it down below the earth to lay there and to get cold. And, as Job even spoke about the skin worms destroying his body, but all it'll do is lay there in hope and awaiting a better resurrection. God will call it forth, make it perfect, fashion it like unto the body of the glorious Son of God himself, reunite the body and the soul to go and to dwell with God forever and forever. Now tell me, what can hurt the child of God? Nothing. So I've told people, you may weep for yourselves, but you don't have to weep for me. You don't have to weep for me. But I'm looking forward, because it's a sad thing to me, and it always has been. It's a sad thing to me that families have to be separated. Here you've got mother and father and sons and daughters and this beautiful family unit. And they've got so much love for each other, and they just love being together, but we can't stay together here on the earth. It just can't be. Death just continues its invasion among the ranks of the human family, and we've got to die, and we've got to be separated from each other. But thank God that for those who are saved, that we can get together again, that we can have a reunion, that we can be together. I want to read some scripture in closing this message. Right now we're looking at death from this side of the grave. But look at what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So I'd like for us to have a song. And I want to say, if you're here today and you're lost, that facing death in that condition is a horrible thing. You need to give it much more consideration than just saying, well, it's a part of life. David, from what we read in the 116th Psalm, the psalmist David, when he was lost, He said, the sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And death is a horrible thing if you're lost and without God. It's horrible. I can't even describe to you how bad that it is to be facing death, lost and without God. So we give you today the opportunity to come to the Lord. Come to the only one that can give you victory over death. Come to the one that is the resurrection and the life. Come to the one who said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Come to Jesus and seek him for eternal life while we stand and sing.
Number 321 in your church hymnal.